One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I am George Knapp, listening to That UFO Podcast and having one hell of a good time.
A question from Joe. He asks, do you think that the release of Lou Elizondo's book will capture the American public's attention in such a way that disclosure becomes an election issue? And I'll just expand on that, Danny, that obviously Lou Elizondo's book is due out in about 2 weeks from now as we record this. There was a leak online last week where basically the full book appeared online due to a publisher's error. I don't know if you've had a look at any of that or the previews, if you can talk on that.
Well, apparently there have been a whole bunch of pages released. I don't know, 60 pages or something like that, somehow have gotten released. You know, I've gotten some information about those. The people who are hostile to Lou and have been hostile to Lou, you know, ever since he came forward, that they've jumped on some of the particular pieces of information there that they interpret as negative admissions on the part of Lou. So I know that buzz is going on, but I'm not familiar yet. I've respected Lou's wishes that if he had wanted me to know what was in the book ahead of time, he would have made it available to me, I'm sure. And so I'm respecting the confidentiality of what it is that he has put in his book, and to the point of not even inquiring of what it is yet. So it's not clear, but it's important to remember that anything and everything that Lou has put in that book that is in its published form has been approved by the United States Defense Department pre-publication review and security office. Okay, so there's an official United States government authorization of any of the information that is in Lou's book. And so I don't know exactly what any, if any, new revelations there are in the book that Lou has not already conveyed to me or to others publicly. So I don't know what the type of repercussions are going to be. I do know that whoever it is that got a hold of some of the pages, I don't know how they did, but however they got them and they've revealed them, may have intentionally leaked portions of the book that they view to be potentially negative about Lou. So there may be a lot more in the book that is very positive, not just about Lou, but about revealing additional secrets that have been cleared by the Defense Department. But I don't know yet. I don't know. But I do know that there's going to be a fairly well-financed book tour that Lou is going to be undertaking, that the publishers are financing that. So he's going to be going to a number of major cities. And I dare say that those book signings are going to be very well attended. You know, we're in the process at the New Paradigm Institute, you know, to potentially follow up on some of those appearances that Lou has around the country. We're organizing Citizens for Disclosure, you know, in virtually all of those districts. We have Citizens for Disclosure teams set up now in 43 states of the 50. And so in those states where he appears, we have teams that are in place to potentially follow up on his appearances and we will, of course, get copies of his book when it's published so that our people will be familiar with what's in the book and can continue to share that information with people in the public. So we'll see how effective this is going to be.
Maybe we can help out, or I can help out when you look at that internationally, because I know Lou will probably be doing something over in the UK as well, yeah, a month or yeah, two after the book comes out. So we can talk about that.
Yes.
It sounds less sinister than it may actually be, that there is a premium option for some publishers where if you're signed up to their club, you can access books early. And it seems to be as easy as the click of a button as to whether that should be allowed or not. Sounds like this shouldn't have been, and it was for a short time. Same with the preview of the book, that's a Google functionality. And a preview of the book also leaked, which was the first so many chapters. It does look like a full copy ended up online. Similar to yourself, I've stayed away from it. I did speak to Lou, and he said for transparency reasons, he would never stop anyone talking about it if they had read it, because that goes against his kind of message, which I can appreciate that. I know some folks have talked about it online, but if folks are wondering why I've not gone into it in more detail, and Danny said the same, Lou put a lot of work and effort into that. So I'll wait the couple of weeks until it comes out, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of time to pick over the bones of it then. But yeah, it'll certainly be interesting and no doubt kick off a lot of discussion points. Moving on then, I want to ask a few more questions that may move into... If we've kept our feet grounded so far, I think we've slowly ramped up. It gets a little bit ungrounded and a bit more woo and speculative, as some people would like to call it. Question from Randall. He says, can Danny tell us more about the Luciferian temptation and how it specifically ties into the UFO UAP phenomenon?
The Luciferian temptation. Let's try to unpack what I think the point of the question is. There's been an awful lot of activity inside the kind of Christian fundamentalist religious community, attempting to characterize the whole UFO phenomenon as being demonic. I've mentioned that, you know, that I interviewed a fellow on his deathbed, Albert Stein, who was a member of Project Blue Book, and he himself harbored this type of bias, thinking that the live extraterrestrial being that he was allowed to see at S4 with his commander in Project Blue Book, he thought it was the being was demonic, and he refused to go near him, because he was afraid of it and refused to believe what the extraterrestrial being, the EB, the extraterrestrial biological entity, was saying about who he was and where he was from and the relationship that he had with a phenomenon in the universe that we would tend to consider to be God, which the EB said is very different than you think it is. Albert Stein just didn't believe him. And so he never told anybody about it, that he'd even been there and seen the being until he was on his deathbed when he called me and revealed this to me. And so I know that there is this 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 meme that's going on inside the Christian fundamentalist community that deem this entire issue of UFOs and extraterrestrial beings, et cetera, to be demonic, because it somehow undermines, in their mind, it undermines the uniqueness of Jesus Christ as the savior for this particular planet and for our Homo sapien species. Let me say as sensitively as I can, that I find that to be a reductionist understanding of theology. That it is not a sophisticated understanding of what the entire realm of theology is all about. Now, and I say this as a person who had, after completing college and law school and practicing law for a number of years, ended up going back to Harvard Divinity School to actually study about these things. I've done that. And so that this entire area of what the relationship is between things that we believe to be theological as a human family and the issues that are salient to the UFO issue and the extraterrestrial beings that are perceived by many to be extra dimensional, that when you get into perceiving the UFO phenomenon as being a manifestation of an extra dimensional dimension, you're treading into the areas that have historically been addressed in the mind of religious fundamentalists as being the unique domain of religion. And therefore, if you say anything that is contrary to their rigid historical understanding of usually biblically based theology, they view that as demonic. They view it as sacrilegious. They view it as anti their religion. And I want to be sensitive to the people, because I've dealt with the people over the years. For example, I did a trial out in Idaho for the American Civil Liberties Union back in 1974 in front of an all Mormon jury, and it became really important to understand what their thinking was. And I've dealt with virtually all 54 of the major religious denominations in the United States when I was the general counsel at the United States Jesuit headquarters in their social ministry office. So I'm aware of all of these things. That I do not believe the fact that there is an extraterrestrial civilization of beings who are not Homo sapien, but who are highly intelligent and highly technologically developed, is something that is intrinsically demonic. Now, the question that one might ask is, do I acknowledge that there is any such thing as demonic? That's a separate question. We'll put that on the shelf for a second. But the bottom line is that nothing having to do with the UFO phenomenon and the extraterrestrial species that are here is demonic. Now, there may well be one or more of the species of non-human beings from different star systems who do not have the same ethical system that we do. May in fact conceivably be subject to some of the same kind of conduct that we human beings engage in that might be viewed as sinful or evil even. And so it's conceivable and rationally reasonable to assume that there must be more than one extraterrestrial species that may have evil intent. And that could be evil and something that we have to be cognizant about and very respectful of considering. But that is not the same thing as demonic. Demonic is a specific category of theology that suggests that there is an incarnation, an anthropomorphically incarnated being that is intrinsically evil. This is a fundamental assumption of a dialectical, bipolar, binary dimension of reality. That's rooted in the second paradigm worldview of the dialectical worldview that Hegel writes about at some length. I do not personally believe that evil is personified in some type of extra-dimensional being that might be considered Satan or satanic. Now, I do know, I can absolutely guarantee you, I do know that human beings are capable of extremely malignant and malevolent activity. And they can even form communities where they celebrate that type of malignancy. You know, you have motorcycle gangs, for example, that will sweep into an area and kidnap people and crucify them as torch. I mean, it's hard to imagine some of the things that our human family is capable of. That does not make us demonic. Okay. Now, except that the religious fundamentalists say, oh, a demonic spirit has invaded and occupied the body of that particular human being, and that they have therefore taken them over, and that this is really not, this is not conduct that human beings engage in as human beings, that they have to have been taken over by some exterior, ultimately other type of malevolent being. That I don't believe that. I don't believe that's true. I believe that it's unfortunate that our human species and probably other species in the galaxy are capable of evil and malignant activity. I do believe that. But it's not the same thing as demonic. I think the whole realm of demonic power is a fictional fantasy that has been developed in the Christian world as a mechanism for designating certain type of conduct of human beings as being malignant and evil, and they're not taking responsibility for it. They're attributing it to some exterior malevolent force. I don't believe that that's true. And, you know, we could go on at some length about this, and I think it's important, but I don't believe that the UFO people that are here, the five basic species that we're encountering, and I know there's all kinds of people that say there's 57 different varieties, or it's like Heinz ketchup, you know, but the bottom line is that we know that they're the short grays, they're the tall grays, you know, there are the reptilian beings. We know that they're the insectoid or mantis people. And then there's this whole long discussion about whether or not there's other virtually identical human beings from the Pleiades that are here. But there's five different species that are talked about here. I don't believe any of those beings are malignant or malevolent or evil. Now, I also don't believe that they're all, you know, beatific beings that are here to save us and cure cancer and solve our energy problems. You know, we have to assume, much like Marshall Summers and Reed Summers talk about at length in their writings, that we have to assume that the extraterrestrial beings have a range of capabilities, not unlike our own, that can range all the way from being very benign and enlightened to being quite evil and self-interested, some of them. So that's why we have to be as careful as we do in having an investigation of all of this, an independent investigation that isn't colored either by an unjustified amount of idealism or an unjustified amount of cynicism about the beings. But one thing that's known about the Jesuits, I think, in our more recent incarnation under Pedro Arrupe, you know, since 1962, you know, that the entire Jesuit order, the Society of Jesus inside the Catholic Church, is designed to try to modernize and update people's understandings of theology, and that the people who are religious fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, view the Jesuit order as being anathema to their particular theological views. My opinion is that the Jesuit order views the fundamental religious fundamentalism as being less than fully informed and not an adequately sophisticated understanding of the subtleties of metaphysics and the relationship between human intention and the manifestation of the material world, to state it flatly, so that I'm not setting up any kind of a confrontation between the Jesuit order and the fundamentalist religious community. But the fact is that we have different points of view on this, and therefore we should all be allowed to express our own view. But I think that it's extremely dangerous to be attempting to characterize people who are extraterrestrial beings. And I use the term people. I mean, I believe that they're conscious, sentient beings with souls, you know, just like we human species. And that it is a disservice to our future relationship with all of them to project onto them this concept of being demonic and therefore Luciferian.
No, I appreciate that answer. It was detailed, but it explained a lot, so thank you. And just to expand on that idea of those beings and those five types of beings, a question from Cammy. If Danny has the belief that any of these ETs are future humans or some variant of that, how far in time from being them are we, does he think?
No, I think this is a much discussed and a perfectly rational potential theory with regard to some of these beings. It's absolutely clear that if we do not destroy ourselves here on our planet through a thermonuclear war or through the consequences of physically contaminating our planet to the extent of ruining our climactic organic system on our planet, and so that our species fails and becomes extinct. As long as that doesn't happen, it's clear that we're going to reach a point in time when we're able to fly off our planet to go faster than the speed of light, to reach other star systems, and we're going to be able to populate the galaxy with human beings. And it's therefore possible that in the future, we will in fact reach out and populate other planets and potentially other star systems within our galaxy. And it is possible that at some distant point in the future, we will achieve insight into the issue of time, that we will be able to get outside of the fourth dimension of our four-dimensional universe and potentially move in time. There's a lot of scientific information about that. And therefore, it is conceivable that human beings in the future from some other star system, a populated human culture, could actually figure out how to travel back here. And we may well be in a physical form by that time that has evolved beyond Homo sapien, to be the next or even the next and next incarnation of our species, that we've evolved from, you know, Homo erectus, you know, from Australopithecus to Homo erectus to, you know, to Homo sapien. And we will continue to evolve teleologically in that way. And so that at some future point in the distant future, we may well have evolved into a physical form that is like either the mantis people or the tall grays or even the small short grays. You know, it's possible And so that it's one of the theories that's on the table that is being examined by the New Paradigm Institute. And it's a viable issue. Myself, I think that the following the doctrine of Occam's razor, it's a very simple set of logical assumptions that what we're dealing with, however, are species that have evolved on other planets within our galaxy, that they come from planets, though comparatively rare, that are like our planet Earth, that are capable of gestating life. And they gestate life, and the life evolves teleologically into higher and higher levels of complexification to generate sentient, intelligent, reflective beings, such as human beings, and we're encountering them. It's a perfectly logical, kind of minimal understanding of what it is we're dealing with here. And I think that that's the one that we need to deal with first, and get that understood as thoroughly as we can, and have as clear a set of diplomatic relations and communications with these sentient, organic, evolved beings in our galaxy. But we need to keep open to additional supplemental data that might indicate that we are, if we haven't already, that we may at some point in time encounter, you know, time-traveling human beings that have evolved to a next stage of biological evolution and have traveled back through time to communicate with us in some way, very much especially warning us to get rid of our thermonuclear weapons. That this threatens the actual potential evolution of our human species, and also to stop contaminating our planet with the pouring of these effluents into the water and system and air, you know, that is destroying the organic climactic system of our planet. These are warnings that have been conveyed repeatedly in direct face-to-face encounters with members of this extraterrestrial species. These extraterrestrial species have all warned us about this, and I think we need to heed their warnings.
That's answered a question from Stephanie, literally about time travel technology, so thank you. You read our minds there. And final listener question, Danny, from Nate. He asks, I've heard Danny mention on other podcasts about latent abilities that the human family may possess that may have been forgotten or suppressed. Can you please ask Danny if he thinks we are on the verge of an evolution in consciousness that may bring those abilities to the forefront, and if any of the species that are visiting us may have an interest in seeing that occur?
As I mentioned before, and I don't know if I've mentioned it on your podcast, Andy, but back in 1968, when I'd gone up to Harvard Law School from the college, word came through to us that Crane Brinton, who was the longtime head of the Department of Intellectual History at Harvard, was going to be delivering his final lecture. And I went down to the college to listen to this. And he said that he had been asked after he had been the head of the Department of Intellectual History at Harvard for like 30 years. And he'd been in the field for over 50 years. And he was getting set to retire. So he was going to be delivering his final lecture. And people came from all around the world to listen to this. And he got up in front of everybody and said, I've been asked to address the question here in my final lecture as to what the most important single intellectual insight is that I've encountered in all of my 50 years of study in this area, what that might be. And he said, this is easy. He said, I think that the greatest minds of our human family have all come to realize that we are right on the very brink of the next evolutionary, physical, biological, evolutionary step in our evolution, and that the particular phenomenon that is going to differentiate our next iteration of our species, that is going to distinguish this new species from Homo sapien, is the evolution of a faculty by means of which we are going to be developing a faculty like seeing or hearing, that is able to directly and immediately experientially encounter a particular vibrational frequency, that's like light or sound. And that light, for example, has generated a tractor force on our biological evolution of life forms on our planet that has actually raised up into full physical manifestation the eyeball of being able to directly and experientially encounter a particular vibrational frequency of light. The same thing has happened with ears, that our life forms on our planet have evolved an extraordinarily complex system of physiological material that is capable of directly resonating with and therefore sensorially discerning a particular vibrational frequency in the electromagnetic frequency the spectrum, of sound. He says, I think another thing is happening right now that our human species is developing a new faculty, a sixth sense, as it were, that is able to directly and experientially encounter and discern and communicate directly to us experientially, not conduited through any kind of intellectual analysis or analytical scheme, but in fact, a direct sensorial experience of accessing the vibrational frequency that bonds together every single ultimately irreducible integer of matter in the entire physical universe into one unified harmonic whole. And that by dint of this experience, analogous to seeing or hearing, that we are able to directly experience the unity of all being in the universe. And that therefore, we are able to directly experientially discern what type of human conduct is either harmonious with or disharmonious to the natural order of the entire universe. And this is ultimately the source of natural law, this intuitive, direct, experiential encounter with data that communicates to us experientially the unitive nature of all reality and enables us to discern what the relationship, proper natural relationship is between and among various manifestations of matter. Difference in plant life and human beings and other animal life and how we relate to physical matter like mountains and oceans, etc. This is an extraordinarily valuable insight that Crane Brinton has had, acknowledging that this has been recognized by all human beings and that therefore this teleological unfolding of this new faculty is going to enable us to elevate our consciousness as a species, which is going to enable us to directly and immediately discern the unitive harmony in the universe. And if we are willing to follow this and what we might view as being intuitional, to follow this and help this inform us as to what type of policies to have as a collective community, and what kind of principles to enunciate as to how we might comport our conduct individually and collectively in harmony with the natural order of being in the universe. This is something that we assume may well be also known by extraterrestrial beings, and that this is a means of communion that we have with them through extrasensory perception, a precognition, the remote viewing capabilities that we have, the ability to transmute matter, water into wine, if you will, the ability to levitate, walk on water, if you will, to heal other life forms that are out of harmony or out of balance, such as healing with laying on of hands, the resurrecting of the dead, very possibly through the re-energizing of the electromagnetic systems in the human body upon certain occasions. These are capabilities that are known as Siddha, in the Eastern traditions. Hinduism, Buddhism are aware of these capabilities. They're written about. They're also referred to even in biblical text as the so-called talents of the evolved spiritual being. So these are capabilities that we have. These are capabilities that may have evolved teleologically and more fulsomely in other species. And that this is something that we need to be open to exploring and finding common experiential relationship with the extraterrestrial beings. At the same time that we're guarded and wise to realize that even though some people have these higher states of evolution, that there may in fact be members of even their same species who are functioning at a much lower level of consciousness, and that we have to be careful because we see it on our own planet. You know, the warring factions that we have on our planet, the people who are abusive and selfish, we need to try to overcome this. And this is all part of a new paradigm. This is what the New Paradigm Institute is really all about. It's about a lot more than just, though it is about, exploring to understand the nature of the UFO phenomenon in the different species that are here, and coming and going, discovering where their bases are, what kind of relationship we might have with them, what kind of relationship may already exist between them and some element inside our government, deeply buried. These are things that we're exploring at the New Paradigm Institute. And that's why we invite everybody to contact us, you know, at newparadigminstitute.org. Simple, newparadigminstitute.org, and become a volunteer. We have over 550 volunteers now. We're getting everybody kind of put into different categories of areas of expertise, and we're involving people actively in setting up Citizens for Disclosure groups in each of the 435 congressional districts. We're going to be reaching out to the legislatures, both on the state level and national level, to try to get legislation passed to facilitate the absorption of the knowledge that we're going to be acquiring when the disclosure starts taking place. And we're going to be participating in helping to choreograph the rolling out of this information in a way that is comprehensible, and is able to be absorbed by our people and can be translated into positive and constructive options for us to pursue as a matter of policy in our country. And we can recommend these to the legislatures. We can draft the legislation. We can do the investigations, and we can have discussions about these higher states of consciousness that our human family is capable of. That's what the New Paradigm Institute is all about. And that's why I'm delighted to get to talk with people and get to meet people. We go out meeting with people and around the country. And that's what we're doing at the New Paradigm Institute. And I really appreciate getting a chance to talk with all of you.
Thank you so much, Danny. What we'll do is leave that there. I'll make sure the link for the website is again in the description to the podcast. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, everyone, from sending through your questions. Been greatly appreciated. Sorry we didn't get to them all this time. Danny doesn't have a full day to spend with me, but we will get him back on in the near future. So, Danny, thank you very much again.
Terrific, Andy. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium, YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer, a little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.